This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence. This week, back to school with COVID and lots of reasons to take masking up seriously.
There have been 4.4 million children that have been infected with COVID. This has resulted in about 20,000 hospitalizations and over 360 deaths.
So you can't say kids don't get sick from it when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
Texting, tweeting, gaming, gambling, sugar, shopping, social media posts, you name it. Everything has been drugified today, making us all hooked and not wanting to stop.
It seems like addictive tendencies are lurking in every corner these days. Then,
I've really been lucky to not care so much about the repercussions of being myself.
We talk about the power of confidence with ballerino James Whiteside. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints on your favorite radio station and subscribe and listen to shows anytime on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
As the new school year starts, tensions are high and teachers are nervous. Most of them have been vaccinated against COVID-19, but most students have not. And breakthrough infections of the Delta variant have become an everyday occurrence. Kids aren't as likely to get seriously ill if they're infected, but they're still at risk. So experts say the number one piece of back-to-school apparel this year is a mask.
Both of my children, I have a middle schooler and a high school student who have been vaccinated, and they will be using their masks in school this fall because it is the best thing for them as individuals. It's the best thing for their community and the rest of the students and staff in the schools as well.
Pediatrician Dr. Nathaniel Beers is president of HSC Healthcare, the parent of Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. He's also a member of the Council of School Health for the American Academy of Pediatrics.
That is why the AAP, as part of our recommendation, made sure that we were clear about that. And the CDC is also clear that that is the recommendation, that regardless of vaccination status, it is the safest thing for schools to make sure that we can have schools open safely for everybody in the building, that everybody continue to mask. And the students are quite capable of doing it. We've seen it this past school year, and we can expect that they will be capable of doing it again in the fall.
Masks are only part of it, though they're admittedly a major part. Schools have drawn up all kinds of plans to keep kids and adults safe. Some of those they hope they never use, like plans to shut down and go back to remote learning again, like last fall. But are we in just as much danger now as we were then? Dr. Tina Tan is professor of pediatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University and a pediatric infectious disease physician at Lurie Children's Hospital.
I don't know if it's more dangerous. It's just more infectious. So the Delta variant is definitely more transmissible, so that one infected person can transmit it very easily to a larger number of individuals that are susceptible. And I think that is really accounting for some of the increase in the number of infections that we've seen in children over this last month, as well as the significant increase in the number of kids that have required hospitalization for their COVID infection.
States and cities have stepped up their mask mandates, but some places have them and some don't. Out in the community, we're depending heavily on vaccines to prevent the worst of the COVID toll. Adolescents 12 and over can be vaccinated, but most grade schoolers can't. Despite that difference, Tan says protocols for the two groups are pretty much the same.
We know that the kids that are over 12, there's still a sizable portion of them that still have not been vaccinated. And then all the kids under 12 are not vaccinated. So regardless of whether or not kids have received the vaccine, there really should be very specific protocols in the school setting in order to create a safe learning environment for these children. all these kids, the teachers and the staff should be wearing masks when they're in the school setting. They should continue to practice physical or social distancing so that the desks are at least 3 feet apart. There should be good hand hygiene, good ventilation in the classroom, cohorting of teachers and students in the smaller groups, discouraging large gatherings of teachers and students. So for example, they should stagger lunch hours so that there are not that many children and teachers and staff in the lunchroom at the same time. Kids can eat at their desk. And there also need to be protocols in place as to what to do if somebody were to develop symptoms or test positive for COVID.
What we saw last year was that those schools that did have those control measures in place rarely were the source of outbreaks, that in fact, students and staff were more likely to contract the COVID virus outside of the school building than they were inside of the school building. And so in some ways, a space that is implementing those components should help a family feel more confident.
Schools are safer from COVID than the community in the eyes of some experts because, for the most part, they can make their safety protocols stick. The exception are the places where states are giving parents the choice of whether their kids will be masked.
I think that's a big mistake. We know that masks work. We saw it work last year in those situations where kids were going to in-person school and there were other protective mitigation protocols in place. There was not that much COVID transmission in the school setting. So we know that masks work. We're dealing with a different variant of COVID now that is more transmissible, and masks definitely need to be mandated in the school setting.
Despite the recommendations, though, some people imagine, well, kids rarely get seriously ill with COVID. So if adults at school are vaccinated, then there's not that much risk at all. Tan disagrees.
It's not just the teachers and the staff that are at risk. It's the students also. Anytime you're out in the community, you are exposed to COVID, especially in those areas where there are very high rates of COVID circulating. So everybody's at risk, and you want to minimize that risk and prevent the transmission of COVID in the school setting. And the best way to do this is to wear a mask. Because with this particular variant, we know that it can infect individuals that have been vaccinated, and vaccinated individuals are able to transmit this variant to other people.
Besides, say Beers and Tan, it's not true that kids don't get sick with COVID.
The vast majority of children continue to tolerate the virus better than adults. It doesn't mean that children aren't getting admitted to the hospital at higher rates than we've seen in the past, or that they're not getting sicker. The issue is that we've seen higher rates of disease in kids as the broader community has relaxed all of the other standards. And so as communities have reopened widely with limited masking requirements, we have seen an uptick in the rate of disease and the severity of disease in kids, but they continue to be substantially less than they are with the adult population.
A large number of them have very mild symptoms, but there are children that will develop severe symptoms, especially children that have any type of underlying condition, children under a year of age, and children that are either African American or Latinx. They tend to develop much more severe symptoms when they get infected with COVID. So people for a long time had misinformation that they thought that children could not become infected with COVID, or if they did become infected, it did not have any effect on them. And that's completely untrue. We know that since the start of the pandemic, there have been 4.4 million children that have been infected with COVID. This has resulted in about 20,000 hospitalizations and over 360 deaths. So there are children that can become very, very ill with COVID and will end up in a hospital setting in an ICU.
You can also imagine that COVID may be like the flu, passed around from one kid at school to another, who then take it home to infect their parents and grandparents.
That is definitely a possibility, but most of the time what we're seeing is that it's adults in the community that bring COVID into the household because they're able to move around the community more and get people in the household infected.
We are definitely worried about the unvaccinated adults in the community and those with chronic conditions that put them at higher risk for complications. And so that is a big component of the recommendation. And we also know that it is possible, even for those who are vaccinated, to get the Delta variant at higher rates than other variants. And so we want to make sure that we do everything we can to minimize that spread in the community. And schools, we want to make sure, can remain open during the next school year. And to do that, we need to make sure that communities are as safe as possible.
You may also wonder about the backpacks that kids take to school and bring home again. Are they possible sources of a COVID infection coming home? Tam says not likely.
We know that backpacks, packages, things like that pose very little concern with regards to transmission. It really is the person or people and the respiratory droplets from these people. So parents really need to work on getting their child to wear a mask when they're at school. When they come home from school, they need to wash the mask, and the mask should be cloth masks that are 2-ply or greater. If they're worried that the child might have been exposed, you can always have the child shower or take a bath when they come home from school. But we know that things like backpacks, lunch boxes, et cetera, pose very little concern for the transmission of the virus.
The status of COVID vaccines keeps progressing and eliminating more and more excuses for avoiding vaccines. The vaccine has received regular FDA approval and not just experimental use authority. That means it falls under the same category as other vaccines that have been mandated by schools, by workplaces, and by government, mandates that have been ruled as perfectly legal by the Supreme Court. Many parents want to know the status of vaccines for younger children. When might they be approved?
Clinical trials are ongoing with regards to vaccine efficacy and safety in children under 12 years of age. It's expected that some of the data will be available by the end of the fall. And if everything goes well, it's hoped that vaccine will be available for use in children 5 to 11 by the end of this year and 2 to 4 years by the beginning of next year.
Which actually brings up a good point. Beers is concerned that with all the concern about COVID, parents may lose sight of some of those other school-mandated vaccines.
Their children still need their normal childhood vaccines, and that what we don't want to see as we return to school and have more kids together is to have outbreaks of normal childhood illnesses that we can prevent with vaccines. And so it's important for families to contact their pediatricians and make sure that they are up to date on all of their childhood vaccines.
Many parents have seen those vaccines as okay, even while they balk at COVID vaccines for themselves and their kids. But they're all really part of the same public health effort. With COVID, measles, whooping cough, and other vaccine-preventable diseases, it's only when we let our guard down that a surge appears. COVID is only the most recent example of how we're all in this together. I'm Reed Pence.
Colleges and universities are trying to return to normalcy this fall. But with students living and learning in close quarters again, and the Delta variant running rampant, the risk of exposure to COVID-19 is increasing. 18 to 24-year-olds have the lowest vaccination rate of all eligible age groups in the U.S., and most universities are not requiring students to be vaccinated. Erica Hirsch is Vice President and General Manager of Asymptomatic Testing Solutions at Thermo Fisher Scientific.
Breakthrough infections among the vaccinated continue to occur, resulting in further viral spread and putting people at risk. This means that monitoring of community infection rates and frequent testing of all students, regardless of their vaccination status or expression of symptoms, will be imperative in providing proactive responses to any potential outbreaks at colleges and universities.
Some prominent universities in the U.S. are already mandating regular testing of all students. Find out more at thermofisher.com/COVID testing for college.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
This so-called team won't let me go to the doctor to take it out because they don't want me to have any more children.
The forced sterilization of women in our nation's past and present.
Then nail biting. When does it go beyond just a bad habit?
It's kind of crazy what nail biting can lead to. I mean, the list goes on.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.